Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods for round 6 of the AFLW 2023 season. Another milestone achieved. Woohoo! As the girls win their first game away against Port Adelaide in Port Adelaide. So fluff up your tail feathers and settle in for potentially and hopefully less biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods. G'day there, Cygnus and Swanlings. I am Chris, and today I am joined by Polly. Hello, Polly. Welcome to the potty.
Good job. You didn't stuff it up. I think that's the first time you're getting used to saying Polly and potty in the same sentence.
So I wasn't expecting. I got halfway through the sentence, and then I kept going with it. And I wasn't going to originally, but I rolled the dice, came up good. No snake eyes. I'm sorted. Yeah, we're right.
We've done it. Figured it out.
Yeah, it's not that hard, but I figured it out. Go
Polly, it only took you four times. Look, it's not too bad.
Well, given a mismatch of what happened last week, I'm glad I left it in so everyone can see how hopeless I am in some spots. Well, look, before we get started with Polly, of course, if you enjoy the Bevy crew and you like what we're doing, we're putting a lot of effort into the potty every week. We put effort into the AFLW as well, making sure we commit to that all the way through and enjoy all of that and make sure there's something out there for all the Swans fans in the world. And we've also got our trade review podcast that Noddy is running and kicking off with absolute steam as well, keeping on top of what we're doing on the trade front and to be the draft front as it goes on. Noddy is an absolute beast for that kind of stuff. So if you want to support us and you want to give us a little bit of love, all you got to do is very simple. Go to your Facebook, go to your Twitter, go to your Instagram, wherever your social preference is, go there, follow us, and give us a couple of likes. That will go a long way to support the baby and make sure we're growing the way we expect to grow and that we are. So thank you for all of those that have, and I'm going to get stuck into the game now. Score recap, last Saturday, our Sydney Swans defeated the Port Adelaide Power by 15 points away with a final score of 3-12 for Port Adelaide to 30 and for Sydney 6-9-45 Sydney to get up by those 15 points. Polly, straight over to you for the first impressions.
Yeah, it was weirdly the most emotional win for me. I don't know why, but this one really felt special. It was a great game, very frustrating at some points, but we'll get into it. But I unfortunately couldn't watch the first win live, and the second win, I feel like we kind of expected it because it was against West Coast. So this one, there was about 10 minutes left and I started just crying because I was so proud. Like, it was just such a great game. See them, a very even game that they managed to come out on top of. We haven't really seen them pull that off yet. So it was just amazing and a great win for some girls that haven't been able to get a win yet, like Ham and Woodward, who have been there since day one and unfortunately haven't been in the team when we've won so far. So yeah, it was a great day down at Albion Park.
That blew my mind to see those two getting their first win. They are the staples of the team. And, of course, Montana kind of fighting some injury along the way. Yeah, I totally understand why it would be, because it did feel like it was the toughest win that we'd had.
Yeah.
It's gameplay in the game it won. So, quickly, for Coach's Crack, our own man, Cal Gowans, he mentioned a few things that were just kind of nice to note, and I just wrap it up really well. It was a really hard game of footy. We think back to last year, we lost by 66 points at the same venue. The turnaround for this group is incredible, and that's what hard work does. That is a highly emotionally charged Gowans over there, really chuffed about the quality of the team. A couple other things he did say, a third of the squad has changed since last year, and it's a great sign for us, the third win he was referring to. We're not finished yet. Every game, every week, we want to turn up. So he was absolutely buzzing with that win. And Polly, you're pretty much feeling the same emotion as him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great when you see the coach get emotional too. He's pretty, tough, Gowans. Yeah. So it's nice to see, him on the soft side. And it's obvious that he really loves the team and loves the girls. So, yeah, and A couple of the girls have family in Adelaide as well, so it was lovely to see that, them playing in front of their home crowd to get a win. And, yeah, it was just a great game all round. You know, if you think about when we played Port last year, we lost by 66 points. So to flip that on its head and to come back with a win, I can't speak highly enough of the girls. Like, you know, there were parts where I was getting frustrated with them, but I think that happens in every game. Like, it's a long game. There's going to be points where they're doing silly things. So, yeah, to turn it around and fix those, I think, is a part of our game we hadn't really achieved yet. So it's nice to see them get to the point where they can do that.
Yeah, as you say that, it kind of got me thinking. Like, it felt like this game, there was a few different speeds we went out. Like, the first quarter, it was all about contested. So very early in the week and during the team selection, Gowans was mentioning, look, this week's going to be, we expect them to be hard in the contest. We expect the contest to be really hard. That's what they did last time to us, and they really ran with it. And then watching the games for this year, he goes, that's what we're going to have to work on. So we're going to have to find some strategy around that. And it looked like the first quarter was definitely contested. I think we were plus like 20-something, 29 in uncontested possessions, just freaking just owning it. Before we started then getting this ball in, started running the ball through the middle, trying to get some one-on-ones going. And then the game became more contested towards the center there. It was just felt like the game, the girls really played a couple of different speeds and strategies to kind of get through. All in all, pretty happy.
Yeah, which is great because I think that's a part of the game we kind of give them a little bit of slack for is not being able to change their game style. I know we've talked about it before. So, yeah, as we say, they're just getting better every week. The fact that they've figured out how to do that now, they're just a team to be contested with, really.
Yeah, like that, and especially when we get down to talk about the ladder, the Swans are in the thick of it. So it can go a lot of different ways by the end of the season, but I think right now it's definitely a pass mark already without jinxing anything.
Everything else is an A plus, really.
So I'm super happy. I don't know what to say. I'm just very happy. Look, Polly, let's get stuck into some favourite moments. What did you have on your side that you want to flag?
Yeah, so I did talk about how I was having a good old cry. The cry did start from the Chloe Mullay goal, like, match winner. Okay. I talk about it a lot. She is my favourite player. So she was getting tagged, held by a lot of the Port players throughout the day, and she still managed to make an impact. And Houghton took her high, like clipped her ear or something ridiculous, and she just went back, slot the goal, and we were 15 points up, and I was like, well, we won. Like, there's no way that the girls can let Port score from here. So it was just such a captain's goal. It was so monumental. Like, it just really solidified that they had won. I was very emotional, and yeah, it was awesome.
She absolutely turned it on that last quarter. Like,
yeah,
as you said, that was a captain's effort. That was on a will of this team, no matter what happens over the line. Her around the contest was wild. The way she was screaming forward at every opportunity with the ball. Yeah, she was uber.
It did feel like, you know, she we got sick of being held and taken out of the contest in the first three quarters. So she was like, I am making my mark on this game now.
Yeah, it's funny you say that she was taking a contest, because she was. You're 100% right. But she still racked up almost 20 disposals.
I know.
A bunch of clearances. Yeah. Like, oh, she's nuts. Like, she's crazy.
Yeah.
She's such a good player. I'll quickly take one of mine. I loved the bit of feeling at halftime. So just as we went in for halftime oranges, there was a bit of a riffraff. There was a bit of a melee. I don't actually know who maybe kicked it off. It might have been like Zaghetti, and maybe someone on the wing there from Port Adelaide. But they kind of got into it a bit. And the first person in from Port Adelaide who just happened to be the close one in there was the Rock Girl. And then who comes screaming in straight after? Tanya Kennedy, our own little junkyard dog. Like, I was not surprised to see her, and she wanted to fight the Ruck Girl. I was like, go, girl. Like, she is. And I'm not surprised. I'm like, no. I'm kind of her energy around the ground, her tackle, her pressure, her run, her like intensity. Like, yeah, she's a natural for that. Made me happy.
Yeah. And I think she kind of got a bit quiet towards the end of the game, but in that first quarter, she was everywhere. Like, she was up the field, down the field, running everywhere she could. She's, the perfect switch player, I guess you would call her. She's just, but yes, I'm not surprised. She's very passionate about this team, which we love because she's only been here for 5 games and 6 games now, I guess. And so, yeah, it's we love the passion and we, you know, we appreciate a bit of a biff. So, you know, give it to them when they deserve it.
That's it. Give it to them when they deserve it, especially going to come up against someone twice your size. I was just looking over the photos to find a photo for the podcast, like for the Spotify and everything, the little icon.
Yeah.
And I just found a bunch of these photos of her just like full up just against the two of them. And both the girls from Port Adelaide look scared. They were just like, ooh.
That Irish accent coming at us.
Yeah, it'd be freaking mad. So, big fan of her. We can talk about her a little bit more later when we're talking about some of the stats and everything else. But she was extra special. Who else on your side did you want to bring up?
Yeah, one of my other favourite moments. Bella Smith had a fantastic game. She was in front of her family. It was probably her best game in the AFL so far. But there was this point in the last quarter where the ball was coming into our forward 50 and there was two Port defenders in the 50 and just her. And she managed to do this play, and I don't know how to describe it, where she kept the ball in, she didn't get it, and she stopped Port from getting the ball back and doing the switch and kicking it back out, which they were really good at on the day. And it managed to roll out and keep the ball within our forward 50. And it was just such a, like, good footy knowledge. And I think having her family there was a very cute photo of her whole family. It was about like 30 of them. It really helped her game, and it was, yeah, she's improving every week, and it was fantastic to see.
She kind of gives me Reed vibes, like Sammy Reed, in that kind of swing. She's great up in the air. She's a clever player. She seems to be just where you need her to be. I love Bella. I'm a massive, massive fan. I think her, because she's traditionally a back girl, right? And then she's moved up forward.
Which Swans love to do. That's cross team.
We like to mix it up by sending everyone back with Blakey, Tommy McCartan, Paddy McCartan.
Yeah, if you start as a forward, you're going back. And if you start as a back, you're going forward.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I to see Bella, that's the applied, and then, but it's something that's really been missed from our forward line. And I'm so glad that Gowan's really nailed it and figured it out quickly. Like those contested marks, you were mentioning the first party that we did together. You were straight onto it. Like you were like, look, marks and contested marks in our forward line are just missing entirely. Yeah. We've got it. That's a stat to kill. And since then, ever since getting Bella up there and her being a bit of a staple, it seems to have kind of settled it down a bit.
Yeah. Something we've been talking about a lot recently is them actually just getting it into the 450.
Yeah,
and I thought that was just generally so much better this game. They managed to actually get it in the 450, and they found other ways of getting into the 450. Now we had some problems converting. That's a whole other thing. But we managed to keep the ball down there and do it really well. And it was, Bella has made a huge impact into that forward line working, and it worked really well this week. Like, I think even like Whelan did, if she hadn't played a few games, but she did a really good job of keeping that ball in there as well, just being on the 50 and being like, nah, so come past me.
And it's also with another dangerous someone in the air, so like Bella. I always emphasize the R because Bella R Smith. With her being up in that forward line, It does mean that probably the best person, the best aerial defender, is on her because of her size, because she's just solid at it, which then allows for Rebecca Privatelli to get out there and start mixing around. And that's exactly what happened. So Rebecca ended up getting these kind of marks against an opponent that were probably better on the ground, maybe matched for one-on-one, but not quite as good in the air. So it may be working.
Yeah, it's definitely coming together.
Yeah, it feels like that, right? It feels like it's coming together.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good. Only been six.
Not me.
When we did our first potty in round 3.
Yes.
It's technically been 4 games.
4 games.
Since then. So if you like, that's so for it to come together in that amount of time. Obviously the seasons are significantly shorter, so they have to. But it's really great to see that they're clicking and it's working, and it just really gives a great emphasis to the importance of game time fitness.
Game time, and if only there was like a VFL equivalent, we might see some better improvements. But yeah, look, as you said, it's coming across really, really well. It's quickly building the strategies that we're suggesting today, kind of happening every single week. We're seeing a visible improvement from a certain section of it, and as we get into the good and the bad, we'll start to suggest maybe some things that they could work on still. But all the things we predicted up until now to work on, it's kind of felt like they've all been worked on. And so we're actually seeing a better improved a team, as we said, and going different kind of speeds, apply it to a contested game and then an uncontested game on the fly, like immediately switch. And yeah, just I'm very happy with the way our Couch Cowens has been going about this. I'm very happy. Over to you for any more good, bad stats or any favorite moments.
One bad that I had was in the second quarter, we gave away about 10 frees.
Yeah.
Now, we managed to fix it and the free kick count did kind of swing back in our favor towards the end of the game. But there was a big, they were just very, very unsettled, and you could tell the girls were getting frustrated, the same as we were. I was getting frustrated. They were just not being composed and just giving away silly things, like tackling into the ground and doing a sling tackle and doing a chop just because they weren't getting the ball. And it was very good to see them calm down, settle, and, you know, be able to not make those silly mistakes, which we've had problems with in the previous games. And they managed to really turn it around at halftime, which was great to see. So it was a good, but it was a bad, but they fixed it. So we love to see that in the middle of, you know, in a game, but
mid-game adjustments.
Yeah. But against a better team, I don't know that mid-game adjustment would, I think a better team would have run over us by that point with getting how many frees they got against us.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough. That's a fair call. I think even Chloe mentioned that perhaps at halftime or three quarter or so, where she said something along the same lines, to be like, we're kind of being a bit undisciplined and we need to stop that because it's giving them free ball and free access to certain sections of the ground. My quick one, it's a favorite moment and a missed chance. Steen, I think, is becoming really impressive. She is feels like kind of new in that midfield. And I dare I say that she is actually going to be quite good. She's already managing to find herself where the ball is all the time. She's getting herself hard work to get around it. She's probably like a split millisecond behind where it kind of the ball's heading to, which is something that I think we don't do in the team, which is predict where the ball's going to move to and then put some pressure there. So you can hear the cat going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's right, yeah. So what she's kind of saying, what I'm saying is that where, you know, you've got your two poor players, say, and you've got one Swan player trying to put some pressure down, you know the ball's going to move to the outside, so, like, get ready to go. And Steen seems to do that. She's already kind of edging towards where it's going, and then she's putting a bit of pressure on them on the outside. And I'm finding that really good and something that we don't entirely have in the team, but she's nailing that. Then that falls into a one missed chance, which is then she found herself with loads of time. She was on the outside. She got the ball on the wing. I think this was like in the last quarter. And instead of just popping her head up and just having a look for a good option or just holding on to the ball and going for a run, she got a little bit nervous and she just blasted it directly down the throat of a poor player. They rebounded and had a shot at goal. So that was it during a time where we were still, I think, only like 8 points up or something. So something for her, but all in all, I'm actually quite impressed with the way she's going. So I actually look forward to saying her name more regularly as the games go on. Any more from you, Polly, before we get stuck into the bottom medal?
I'll just do one more thing that was frustrating me in the last quarter. Speaking of frees, as they were fixing the free kick count, we were getting a lot of frees, but the girls kept playing on from the free instead of taking their time to just settle the game. And there were times where I was going, okay, that was the right decision. And there were times where I was going, just take the 30 seconds. You're in front. Slow the game down. Like, there was a bit of a we need to win this mentality. And even when they're in front, they didn't know how to just calm the game. And it was from a, I thought I was really worried from a play on like that, Port were just going to quickly get the ball and switch and they were going to score a goal. Look, it's not a terrible, it's not, I'm like, you know, I'm not mad about it. It didn't end up badly, but I just kept being like, oh my God, this is not like, can't stop. Like,
stop.
just calm down. So, you know, that's something to consider. Again, against a better opposition, if you just say we're playing like Adelaide, not Port Adelaide.
Who's coming first in the ladder, I think, at the moment.
Yes, yeah. Yes. They're in the undefeated team. They would have taken that opportunity to score a goal. So, you know, maybe it wasn't knowing their opponent and knowing that they didn't have the wheelhouse to do that and how frustrated Port were getting at the end. They were probably more likely to make a silly mistake from that. But it's just something to consider that it's not always going to pay off doing that fast restart. And doing it every time, a better team's going to know they're going to do it again. So we may as well try and grab it off them.
Especially when we weren't set up at forward, and you're blasting it to a 2-on-1 with two Port Adelaide players in the forward line. Like, it's you're not doing us any favors. And you've actually reminded me, Ali Morfitt got caught like, I don't know, four times in the first half. I was losing my mind when I thought, I was like, stop it, Ali. Like, give the ball away. Get it off a little bit earlier.
She's forgotten that she's, like, she's maybe the biggest girl in the competition, but she can actually get tackled. Like, I think she's mortal. Forgotten that.
Yeah. she's a goddess to us, but she's not a goddess in real life. So, like, all in all, played a really good game and she was held up pretty hard, but just those things. And that adds to what you're saying there, isn't it? Like, we were kind of taking the opportunity to just get on with it, where sometimes we needed to just pass on the outside, take that safer option.
Yeah, 100%.
Fair enough. All right, let's get stuck into the Bob Medal, which is our equivalent of the Bob Skilton Medal, which is 3-2-1 points out to the best Swans player in every week. And in this week, Polly, I am disorganized. I don't know. What should we give these girls?
That's a great question. So I don't know if you saw the walk up that the girls did from the sheds as the game started, but it looked like someone's suburban backyard where, you know, you push the lawnmower up to get from the front yard to the backyard.
Yes, I did. So little, like, I think, white picket thing on the side. Yeah.
So I think, you know, this week we should give them a lawnmower in celebration of that walk up.
All right, so one Victor Lawmore heading towards, for 3 points, Laura Gardner, 2 points for Chloe Malloy, and 1 point for Lucy McAvoy. All right, so the Victor Lawmore goes out to Laura Gardner. What can Laura Gardner do with a lawmower over to you, Polly?
Well, with how good she is on the field, I would love to see how good she'd be.
Greatest landscaper ever.
We say it every week. She's just phenomenal. Like, I think the best thing about our midfield at the moment is we have Laura and Malloy. And I don't know if she's still going underrated. I guess that she is. But the opposition are choosing to double tag Malloy instead of tag Gardner, and she is absolutely loving that. She is just running free, doing whatever she wants. The ball is getting to her and she is moving the ball. She's just like, she's phenomenal. She's just like, there was a post that the AFLW did during the week and she agrees.
My cat is just like, yes, sing it, Polly.
Yeah, Laura. There was a post during the week where the AFLW had said mid-season who is going to be best and fairest. And, you know, had every player who's done well so far on this list. And Laura wasn't there. So, you know, Laura at this point, I think, is a pick for the league's best and fairest. She is the best on ground pretty much every game we've played, and she's going to do a sneak here. She's going to be up there. I'm going to be really, really shocked if she's not. So, look, maybe I'm being too swan-eyed, which does happen. I'm not the first to admit it.
That's why we exist at the bevy. Yeah,
exactly. But it's hard to say that she's not, and I think she's going very underrated, and maybe these constant 30 disposal games, best on ground games, she is going to get towards the end of the season. Other clubs are going to realize this and tag her. but it hasn't happened so far. So she's just having an absolute ball with it. And I'm so glad and so happy for her because, yeah, she's been an amazing pickup and she seems like such a lovely girl.
Yeah, she's so sweet. I don't know, just sweet at the same time. It's just being wild on a pitch. Like, I think Gowan's mentioned when you do a review with Laura, she listens and she takes it in and she applies it straight away. That is like, so, that is so, he just seems to be so chuffed about it because she's easy to coach and she's a hard worker. So between those two, and then obviously having natural skills, between those three things, why can't she be a walk-on start into the AA? There's no reason why she can't. And as you said, if they want to keep tagging Chloe, help yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, go for it. Chloe's, yeah, and she's willing to take, like, Chloe, I think she'd prefer to be the one to be tagged than watch one of the other girls get tagged. So, yeah, go for it. Keep doing it. Like,
well, you know what?
And she still has an amazing game. Yeah.
So go tag Laura and let Chloe let off the freaking chain. Help yourselves. Yeah. It's good that I think just her being as dominant as she is just transformed this entire team, being able to release some of the pressure for some of the other mids there because she is able to do a whole lot more and get to the contest and put numbers around the ball. So she's a special girl. Well, let's move on. We've spoken a fair bit already about Chloe, but let's get on with her. She got the 2 points, so she didn't win a Victor Lawnmower. Instead, she wins, I don't know,
an edge trimmer.
An edge trimmer, one of those electric ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully electric because they annoy the shit out of me. Yeah, electric edge trimmer. I don't know if she's got any edges to trim, but it is what it is. Life happens. You don't always win what you want.
Yeah, she can give it to her dad.
She can give it to her dad. Polly, what do you want to say about Chloe Malloy?
I mean, yeah, she's just like this week, all the points are going to our new recruits for this year, the broader in. And she's such a captain. Yeah. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me with Chloe. She's so good. She does so many amazing things. She, had the game winner. She nearly scored another goal that could have also been nominated for goal of the year. Just has the footy knowledge and knows how to play the game no matter what the situation is, I think is the best thing about Chloe. We're down, she's finding a way to score a goal. We're up, she's finding a way to keep moving the ball. She's tagged, she's still managing to get the ball. She could do everything and she's just, everyone knows I love her. Yeah, she's just amazing.
She's an unbelievably special talent. And like you said, I think that what really kind of made me get so excited again about her, and just obviously we know how good she is, but on the field, and we watch that all the time, and then just at her at halftime, to just quickly succinct the situation of where the teams are and what they need to work on in a 25-second bit, with whoever it was at Fox Sports or whatever. I just realized, I'm just like, God, like, she's, as you said, she's such a leader, like, on and off the field, with footy smarts and with effort, it's all there. So that almost goal of the week, that was wild. So she was running full speed in the pocket towards the kicker. Ball hit the ground. She picked it up in the smoothest hands I've ever seen. One foul motion, picked it up, rounded on the left, got that check side boot on it. And then, unfortunately, that bounce, it's illegal, that bounce. That bounce, it pretty much touched the line and then bounced opposite direction out. It's like, oh, that would have been goal of the week for the fourth week in a row. But it is what it is.
That coverage, something was, I don't know if I blinded and I thought that depth perception on that forward, that 50 at that end, I could not see what was happening. It always looked like it was going in for a goal and then it didn't even reach the square. I was like, what's happening?
That happened to me on that side of the field so many times during the game. I'm just like, oh, that's got the distance, and then
I was like, what is happening? Where is this camera? It must have been further down the other end of the field so we weren't getting the right depth. I don't know. But I kept being like, that's going in. Nope. Didn't even get to the top of the goal square.
It's not like they have the president who has any idea about like TV production or anything. You know what I mean?
And it's not like he was at the game either.
Yeah. It's not like he was there just looking weird. Anyway, I'm not a big Koshy fan, but it is what it is.
Is anyone?
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks for coming, Koshy. Yeah, I do like beating his team. I'll say that much. It makes me happy. All right, look, let's get stuck into 1 point for Lucy McAvoy. We've spoken about Lucy every single week in the podcast, and this is maybe her second time in getting some actual biscuits. But yeah, Lucy just continues to be an absolute wall in the back line, a good user of the footy, a smart footy player, hard footy player. What can she do going forward? It blows my mind once she starts getting loose a bit more, once the other girls start picking up as well. Yeah. Polly, what do you want to say about Lucy?
Another, you know, our captains are just amazing, and I love both of them. She had another amazing game. Yeah, it is crazy when you see her get loose a little bit, what she, like, if she isn't, you know, hard following someone around and she just gets her own ball, it's very like, oh my God, like, I would be fine if you did this all the time kind of the thing. But she, I think she really galvanized that back line. Like, I think she takes a lot of those younger girls in the back line under her wing. I feel like she really helps Zaghetti in particular. Like, I really love them as a duo. They seem to bounce off each other really well. She's just another very happy she's here. And yeah, each week I'm like, I don't know how you can get better, and they do. So it's just it's a great time to be a Swans fan. Really.
Even the established players continually up their marks, right? They keep getting better in themselves, and that's because the players around them are getting better, is letting them looser, let them do a bit more with the ball. So yeah, with Lucy, God, there's so much to say about her. But one thing I really, really, really loved, and we'll get into, Alicia Newman came off at in the third quarter perhaps, with a concussion.
Yes.
So unfortunately, she kind of came in and we've got a guest. We have a special guest here. We'll get into that in just a moment as I just wrap this up. But Lucy McAvoy ended up actually getting her arms around her at three-quarter time and giving them like a big chat, you know, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
She's all right, blah, 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 blah. Looking after her, and she ended up, it just, she's a captain. Like, she's a captain, you know what I mean? 100%. On and off the field, she looks like a leader. She plays like a leader. She's amazing. Well, let's just get quickly into this one. We are here with a special guest. This week, we've actually brought in Donnie from Donnie's Disposals to come in with us and have a few words about the competition and everything else. So, Donnie, if you can hear me, mate, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you nice and clear. Awesome, mate, awesome. It's good to have you on. No, it's not a problem, not a problem. Look, it's good to have you on. What we normally do on the potty is we have a couple of chats about the guest and how they became Swans fans, if they are Swans fans, the AFL generally, past and present players. So let me get stuck into it. Donnie, let me ask you, where are you from? Because some of the fans probably won't know about yourself and your channel. But, where are you from and how did you get to love AFL footy?
Oh, I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, USA. Basically, if you know the U.S., if you know where Chicago is, I am directly east. How I got into footy, I got into it as a kid. We had a channel over here called Fox Sports World. And my father introduced me. He's like, you got to check out this really cool sport. And it's like on at 2 a.m. And I thought it was fascinating. And 1970s basketball uniforms and all of the the craziness that is this sport. And it just, it hooked me. I lost the channel about a year or two later, went into secondary school, did some athletics in secondary school. And then in college, I was working in a part-time store and an Australian happened to come into the store that I was working at. And he was part of the Des Moines Roosters, which is actually the local team here in town. And he invited me to play. And I kind of have become a footy head ever since.
That's wild. It is pretty unique to hear an American voice with as much knowledge as you probably have. For the football, I know that much. I've been on your channel a couple of times, and so let me ask you quickly: your favorite player now and in the past, who would you go for?
Oh, in the past, let's see. Currently, technically, he just retired, and I thought it was hilarious that I fully joined the Swans just after he signed with them, and that's Buddy Franklin. Cannot not have Buddy Franklin be my favorite, even when he was wearing the interesting color scheme that is the Hawthorne Hawks. And past would definitely be Adam Goods. The more I hear his story, the more I learned about him, the more I absolutely fell in love with him as a player. And then to kind of see the atrocious way he was kicked out of the game made me love him even more, just because he's such an incredible human being that in and of itself. So Adam Goods would be my favorite past player.
Yeah, superb. Two pretty good good lines up there. Mate, let me ask you, you've got a couple of potties. You've been following the AFLW for some time, and I'd easily suggest that you're the best football podcast for the AFLW going around by far. The support you give the girls and to all the teams and review all the games the way you do is superb. And that's not even to mention what they do for the AFLW and following some of the VFL stuff and the Waffle and the Sandful and everything else in between. But if we can focus on the AFLW, mate, what can I, how did everyone find you? What got you started into it? And, yeah, what does the format look like?
Well, it's interesting. Well, basically, the reason that I got into podcasting is actually I will give him his due. Is my producer Ross was the starter of the Fourth and Long sports channel, and him and I connected after the pandemic basically shut down everything except footy. It seemed like he happened to throw out a tweet going AFL is underrated, and I was running the Des Moines Roosters, the local team's Twitter page, and happened to connect with him and kind of was telling him about footy a little bit, and then kind of cheekily invited him to talk to me personally in my personal Twitter page. And he's like, I'd really like to learn about it. How would you like to come on the podcast and tell me about it? And I was like, eh, what the heck? Why not? I'll hop on. And we did almost a 2-hour show. And that is by far the most watched show on the channel ever. And it was just kind of a brainchild after I went, hey, Ross, how would you like to cover the sport? And he goes, yeah, he goes, I think it'd be fun. He'd give me something to do. So 2 weeks later, we're sitting down covering round 7 and 8 of the pandemic season of 2020. And it's just blossomed ever since. I did a supporter series that particular summer for you guys, winter for me over here, where I talked to American fans who supported all of the clubs except one. I could not find a Gold Coast supporter. So they're a very rare breed, shall we say.
And you weren't one here either.
I found a few. They're very unique, but when you find them, they're very unique characters. And then I started doing the men's week by week. And then after about around season 6 was when I really hopped into the AFLW, because I felt like it was a place that nobody was covering. All of the podcasts that I heard, everybody was covering the men, but nobody was covering the women. And I know the AFL does their the women's podcast that they do. And I was like, you know what the heck, why not? So I hopped on in the women's in season 6, and I tried to find traveling co-hosts, women that reported on it, women like Polly that are huge footy fans that kind of sometimes are disingenuous in the footy space. And I found a niche that I absolutely adored. And then last year I started covering the state leagues. Yeah, let's add more insanity of trying to keep track of the VFL, the Sandful, and the Waffle. But the thing though is I absolutely love it. And I've met more and more and more Australians that are just, they're so fascinated by this random American that thoroughly enjoys the sport. And I've fallen in love with the competitions. Like the VFL is a very interesting competition, the way it's set up, and just the fact that it pretty much is the minor leagues of the AFL. And then you have the Sandful and Waffle, where you have the old school clubs that have been there for a long time, and then you have the reserves teams of both of the AFL clubs. And there's almost a little bit of animosity towards them a little bit for some of the purists, shall we say. But it's very, very interesting, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it this year. It's been an absolute blast. And like I said, I've met both you and Polly online, whether it's talking about the Swans or talking about footy. And it's the friendships that I've gained that I think I cherish the most when it comes to the podcast. So it's a lot of fun. It's a labor of love. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. sometimes to do some of my AFL review podcasts. But it's worth it in the long run, and it's just an absolute blast.
Mate, it's much appreciated, definitely from the whole AFL network. Some of the best stuff coming out of there all the way from the States, but it just goes to show that if you've got passion for something, it will come through. It's not a problem. Where does everyone find Donny's Disposals? Where can they go find your channel or your podcast and the audio?
All right. Well, if you want the video version, if you want to see my glamorous face, which I have a face for radio sometimes, I joke with some people. Not just kidding. I'm a self-deprecator. Donny's Disposals on YouTube, and then also on any of the podcasting sites. Just look up Donnie's Disposals. You'll find it there. It's one of those where I'm constantly looking for new listeners. I'm constantly looking for people that want to talk footy, because I want to expand this as much as possible. I want to give the credit and the accolades to not only the athletes, but also the people that love this sport, because it, like I said, it's become a community that I've thoroughly just enjoyed immersing myself in.
Yep, beautiful. Donnie's Disposals on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you think a podcast exists, it's going to exist there, just right next to ours. So thank you, Donnie. Appreciate that, mate. You come at a very opportune time, because we're about to start talking about the general state of the league and where the Swans are. So before we get to that, though, honourable mentions. So the BNF, we've given the Bob Medal out to 3-2-1, Gardner, Malloy and McAvoy. Polly, I just quickly run over to you. Any honourable mentions of players that you think deserves a little bit of love and unlucky to not get a point?
Yeah, I think let's give some love to Montana Ham. She is back. Let's say she's back. She started the game a bit slow, you know, still not at her best. But by the end of the game, she was like... everywhere. I've forgotten how fast she is. Yeah. There was this point where she just took a break and you're like, oh my goodness. She's just, yeah, she's amazing. I'm so glad she's back. It says so much for just getting that game time. That there's nothing like it for fitness. There was a couple of times in the first quarter where she kept not taking the goal by herself, and she probably would have got it, and she just seemed a bit still nervous and not ready to be back into the game fully. But yeah, by the final quarter, she was fully gung-ho, back to her normal self. So let's see what she can do for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Donnie got better with every touch. What did you see?
I'm one of those. I'm going to throw out a name that I don't think everybody gives a lot of credit to, and that's Amy Whelan. I think she was fantastic in this game. She's one of those. She gets it up and under. She fights for a lot of loose balls. She kept seeming to get open and find that ability to be there for some kind of relieving pressure marks, which I think was fantastic. She was great at tackling. Paige Shepherd was another one that I think may not have got a lot of statistics, but she seemed to always be around the footy when it comes to it. There's so many in this game, because I think there were very few that I felt had a bad, like very few that had a bad game. Like, I really think everybody played really, really well. There was inspiration. I have to throw a shout out, a little bit of old school football. I loved when Lexi Hamilton came over when Tanya Kennedy was getting pushed around after the one free kick, and the niggle. I loved it. She came in, threw a hip and shoulder, almost knocked Abby Dowrick over, and I was like, I loved that. The defense of the teammates and the little niggle and the fight in this group, absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. My friend Annie was like, I think Lexi Hamilton had run 400 meters just to be part of the fight. She's got a fighting spirit, that girl.
She was wild. To have her in, she's definitely got that older sister vibe, doesn't she?
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I'm actually going to pick up her younger sister. I thought Cynthia was wild. I think that was the best game of the season. I've suggested a few times she needs to lift, like something needs to happen. I don't know whether she's carrying an injury or something, or the structure wasn't there or whatever, but she was getting her own ball. She was getting around it. Did you notice that when she kicked her goal, it was a bit of a contested mark, and the opposition held on to her a bit, like gave her a bit of a, you know, how you coming kind of dig into the ground a bit. She got herself up, kicked the goal, and went straight over to her, screamed in her face just to go like,
yeah.
And I'm like, that's a girl. That a girl. Let them know.
That's the Canberra spirit right
that's
there.
That's it. That's the Canberra spirit. Where are they from? They're just outside of Canberra.
Queanbeyan.
That's it. If you've ever been to Queanbeyan, it is a unique place. Yeah, no surprise that those two girls get stuck into it, man. That is for sure. I'll throw it back to either of you two. Anyone else you want to mention?
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Mitchell. She came in for Julia Sullivan, and when Julie got dropped, I felt it was a bit weird. I didn't really quite understand it, because we've been talking her up for the past couple of weeks. But, you know, she actually did a really good job, I thought, especially in that first quarter. She was laying tackle. She was being a really good weapon in that back line. I think it was purely just a let's get someone else some game time. I don't think Julie did anything wrong to deserve to be dropped, but I think Mitchell made a case to keep her spot. So it was really great to see that we have players waiting that can step up and do a good job if someone, you know, maybe isn't quite fit and does need a week off, you know. That was really good to
can
see.
I'll throw in just maybe this is my idea that I thought of. Maybe this is the coaching brain. Is the fact that you had Ash Saint, who was a little bit of a taller, wider body up forward. Julie's not exactly the tallest. So I think maybe that's the reason that they got Allison. There was just a little bit more height, because my only issue was that she got matched up on Gemma Houghton a couple of times, and Gemma is an absolutely incredibly difficult matchup because Gemma has so much speed. But Alice almost caught her there on that one breakaway goal. Like she was catching Gemma Houghton, which is not a bad accomplishment. So I don't think Julie went out because of form. I think Julie went out just purely because of, I think Coach Gowan saw matchup situations.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if Julie is back this week. I know it might be stiff on Alice, but I think Julie would match up with the smaller forward line of Hawthorne a little bit better than the little bit taller line of Port, at least by what I see of it. But again, Coach Cowens is quite the interesting character at times.
he did mention earlier in the week as well that he was preparing for a contested ball. And I think at least Mitchell, the bigger body, you know, as Polly mentioned there, going in for some pretty hard tackles and everything. I also think that was a big matchup. I think not only for what's on the ground, but also the style of play they're expecting. So, yeah, good shout out there by Polly.
But, yeah, great depth. It's great to see depth.
It's good to see depth, finally. That's right. One quick one for me. Jade Anthony came in for Alicia Newman after the head knock, and she came out for HIA. But she ends up kicking her first goal of her career. So get around her. Good girl. Awesome stuff. What I really love to see is the speed that she went, and she saw the drop of the ball where it was landing, and she went so hard. She was clearly going to be taking an uncontested mark in what was the most contested part of the freaking ground, which is about a foot away from the goal. The speed that she had and the way she read it was perfect, and she got a push in the back from the defender to get the free kick in order to score. So if she didn't get that push in the back, she was still marking that ball. So it was basically effort and just smarts that got her into that position, and she ended up getting value out of it. So, just out of seeing her for a tiny touch of time, you could already see that she's got some talent with her. All right, look, let's get stuck into the post-game standings. So that takes us up to – we didn't really move – up to 12th. The way that the round went, it was a bit weird for us because although this big win, another couple of upsets and wins from some other teams, meant that middle ground was churning itself up a bit. So we didn't move too far, but we're at 12th, we're 82%. It's a genuine race to the end of the season now. Between 8th and 13th place are all on the same points. So the next few weeks makes all the difference. The Bombers win and the Pies win were unfortunate for the latter, especially that big upset from the Pies over Brisbane. But as noted here, Frio lost, so we still in the game here. We're still available. So Donnie and Polly, maybe I'll start with you, Polly. What do you see at the end of the rest of this season with the matchups we've got going ahead of us?
Yeah, I think if you look at the draw that the rest of the teams that were all in the same points as have compared to ours, we probably have the easiest draw, thankfully coming dead last year. So we only have teams left that are basically in a worse position than us now. But every team we have to play is in the bottom half of the draw. So, and one of those teams is Western Bulldogs, who have not won a game yet. So we are actually sitting in a pretty good position. Again, don't know if we'll be able to push for finals. And we did talk about last week that, yes, some teams are low on the ladder, but doesn't necessarily mean that they are bad teams. It just means that they haven't shown up in patches. It's still pretty up in the air. We'll see. As I said last week, like, pretty much anything at this point is extra. Like, I think we've exceeded expectations at this point. We've beat teams that probably didn't expect us to beat. I think everyone expected us to come dead last again. So, you know, it's really, we're in a pretty good position. So if we can push for that eighth spot, I'm going to, I don't know, I might get a tattoo. Like,
I might see that, actually. Yeah, Donnie, what do you think, mate? You're a big expert of the rest of the league and how everyone team's going. We're very one-eyed, obviously, over here, but yeah.
I don't think Polly is actually too far off, honestly. But the issue that I see with it is that though we are ahead of some of these teams have had a much, much, much more difficult run of games when it comes to it. We really have to thank our lucky stars a little bit. Brisbane is the only top four-ish team that we're going to play this entire season. Collingwood is next, and Collingwood, I think a lot of people saw between fifth through eighth. Essendon is kind of one of those where they have their moments of brilliance. This week was quite interesting to see them knock off the Cats, which concerns me a little bit considering how well the Cats played against us. But we also we should have beat them last year if it weren't for an absolutely atrocious goal judging decision, but we won't go there. So I look at it like this. If we make finals, it is an absolute cherry on top of a season that honestly, three wins, if you would have told me at the start of the year three wins, I would have given you a hug and said, I'll take it all day long, just because of the fact we didn't know how Chloe would step in, how Lucy McAvoy would step in, how Laura Gardner would step in. And as we have all seen, they have come in and they have flourished. And then you get Allie Morfitt go from average Allie to super Allie. Holy shnikes. What did Coach Gowans unleash on the competition? Like, seriously, as I said in my first podcast, I said, if this is what we are expecting or going to see from Allie all season long, she has got an AA on her resume right now after game one, and she really has not disappointed. Is she kicking goals? No, but she's still doing so much. She is like a fourth midfielder in there from the ruck position. So looking at it, I mean, Collingwood's probably our toughest game sitting on the ladder right now. With their win over Brisbane, you just never know. Bree Davey is an absolute monster. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. She's absolutely incredible how good she is. But I look at the rest of our fixture and I go, they're all winnable in some way or another. This week is probably the most winnable against a Hawthorn team that I think has struggled a little bit. And I think with our talls, I think we'll give them some issues. And then going forward after that, I don't see too many difficult ones. Essendon is going to be the other one that's going to concern me just the littlest bit, just because of that. The Doggies, I honestly think the Doggies coaching staff has already lost the players. I think this season is lost. So that it's kind of one of those, we may capitalize on a team that has just, I mean, they've fallen apart at the seams.
Which is weird, Donnie, just quickly there. All the Dogs, I kind of feel that when they play in patches, they are really, really good. And then the rest of the time, they just don't put it together, right? Like, am I crazy or am I seeing like a good team just not playing well?
they have had a horror stretch of injury this year. Right. That's the one thing that if you ask most people, Ellie Blackburn, their All-Australian, absolutely elite midfielder, has been fighting hamstring injuries. Christy Lamb, who made AA last year, has been dealing with a calf injury all season long. They lost L. Bennett's to an ACL injury. They've just literally every injury they could possibly deal with. Eleanor Brown, one of their great young defenders, is out for the season as well. They just, every time that they feel they can get something going, something goes wrong. And then it doesn't help that now their coaching is calling out their coaches calling out their professionalism and everything like that. So this is literally, if you look at this team on paper, the Dougie should be a team that could potentially make finals. But yeah. It has literally just fallen apart this year because of injury and then just upheaval. There's nothing went wrong for the Dougies this year. Like, they have played great quarters and they've played atrocious quarters this year. So the Dougies are probably the one team, you look at the schedule just by record, that should be a win. But yeah. They're a tricky bunch, so don't take them for granted. They may be last, but they are definitely not an 18th place side for sure.
Yeah, I get your eyes to what you're saying there. Okay, no worries. Look, it looks so. Let's get stuck into the next game then. Hawks in Henson Park, the home of AFLW 40, as far as we're concerned. Woo! As Polly starts to get all excited as she prepares her tattoo. Hawks are coming in 15th at 59%. One win and the five losses. The five losses to the Bombers by 19, Dockers by 13, the D's by 59, Lions by 27 and the Saints by 9. So all of those teams in the middle there that we're talking about, they're all pretty decent teams. The win did come against the Dogs by 7, as we spoke about them at length here. So that really, that kind of, I guess, gives you an indication of where they sit with the ladder and the games generally. I am personally really excited about this game. It's going to be wild. We're going to bring a big Chilean contingent. I'll get into that in a second. But for me, it was the closest to a win I felt we had in terms of the way we were playing. That first half against them last year, the day before the grand final, I was at the game over there at Richmond. I think we were up by like 30 or something and ended up losing by like 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. It was a disappointing game. Polly, over to you. What do you want to say about the Hawks game?
I would love to see a similar sort of rivalry that the men's team have with the Hawks. So, I think that we can because we've come into the league at the same time. So, I think there's very much potential there for a long-standing rivalry with this team. At the start of the season, I would have said we were pretty evenly placed with them. I might go out on a limb and say that we're now better than them, which is a bit nice, especially when you have those VFLW teams as like a team that doesn't have any sort of history with women's football or very short history with women's football compared to a team that has a very long history with women's football. It's nice when you sort of get on top. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a good matchup. It should be a good game. And we get to play at home. So it's even better for us.
It's perfect. It always works. Donnie, what do you say about the Hawks? Any danger players that you see? Any matchups you think might be a bit of an issue?
There's a few. This midfield battle is going to be absolutely elite because Laura Gardner, as I said, has been absolutely on fire. Emily Bates is always a good one. I mean, you don't win an All-Australian and you don't win a best and fairest without being a darn good player. The fun part about it is that after Greta Bodhi and Emily Bates, it's a team of good players, not great players. Like Tilly Lucas-Rod, good player. Not great. She's got her moments. She's one of those up and under midfielders that it's kind of like Libertore of the Western Bulldogs. Absolutely tough, gritty type of player. But if you can keep her from getting the ball to the outside run, you can kind of stifle this. I think Ali Morfitt's going to have an absolute field day with the Wales sister. I think it's Lucy, I think is the Hawthorne one. I always get Steph and Lucy mixed up from Essendon and Hawthorne, so I believe it's Lucy. I think Ali Morfitt, if she can dominate the ruck the way she is, I think Laura Gardner, hopefully Montana Ham going into the center a little bit. I think if we can dominate there, I think we've got the marking targets with Beck Rivitelli and Bella Smith stepping up really well these last few rounds. We're going to give them headaches going into the 50. If we can mark the ball, if we can kick the way we've been kicking, we are going to give them headaches defensively. I think we're really solid. I think we match up very, very well with this Hawks team. If we play our game, this is definitely a game that is very, very winnable.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. As I'm looking through the stats, some of the players, that ruck matchup, Lucy Wells, Ali has double the amount of touches, double the amount of tackles, double the amount of clearances, double the amount of hitouts, double the amount of everything. It may, as you suggested, be pretty one-sided. And if we can make full advantage of that in the midfield, hey, pretty solid win. Polly, are we missing anyone or any selection difficulties we've got ahead of us?
Yeah, so we were talking about it before. Alicia Newman went off with a concussion in the third quarter. So I'm not going to be an MRO person anytime soon. Per concussion protocols, yeah. She has to have a week off, 12 days, so she will not be available. We don't get the injury report until tomorrow, so we won't know where Brooke Auckland is standing until tomorrow. I thought she would play last week, so I'm assuming she'll be fine for this week, which would be great because if Leash comes out, Brooke slots back in perfectly, no problems there. And I think that's everyone. Everyone else is fit and healthy.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's good to hear.
Yeah, either that or everybody else is out for the season and are not going to be back because I know Kira Beasley, Jenny Higgins, and there's one other one that are all late in the season. So I think it'd be interesting because if Brooke can't go, then it's Do you bring in Julie O'Sullivan, push her forward? Do you bring in Paris McCarthy for a little bit of pace? Or do you bring in Montana Berulson? Those would be your three most likely replacements. So
the team seems to be really solidified, I think, the way that they've structured and played. Everyone kind of is playing their role. I find Tanya Kennedy, I was actually thinking about this before, she goes diagonal. She goes between the left pocket to the right forward. And so she's kind of been given this realm of like, that is your cut screen. Like, you go across there. Girls need support. You run through that area, collect the support and get the ball rolling forward. Or if they need help in defense, your job is to kind of, so she's like not a traditional winger of going north-south. She's kind of going north-east and south-west kind of vibe, which gives her time in the midfield, which is, such a weird little structure we've got going on. Look, we're going to start wrapping up. So, Polly, one last thing over to you. What did you want to say?
Yeah, back at Henson Park this week. Very exciting. We love the Inner West footy. And I just wanted to say, you know, if you have some friends or family that you've been trying to convince to come to a game, you know, your whole life, like myself, this is a perfect game to bring a casual to. It's an afternoon on a Saturday, 3 p.m., in the Inner West, plenty of places to go afterwards. I've managed to convince my big group of friends to finally come to a game. It's been 20 years of supporting the Swans. I finally convinced a friend to come to a game. So it's the perfect game to bring a casual, bring someone who's been interested. Tickets are $10. Like, it's perfect. Just do it. Enough. And they don't even have to watch the game. Pretty much 95% of the people at Henson Park aren't watching the game. So just show up. It's going to be a great day.
And if to give an idea in terms of casual, I just died there as well. In terms of casuals, there will be an enormous contingent of Chileans. They're all my family. So my grandparents are turning up, my mom, my dad. They all individually have seen games that I've taken to one by one for different things, for different opportunities that we've had. And then my mum just became obsessed with it and last year. And so she's been going all the time and became a member, a foundation member, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I took my dad to the first game this season and he was like, oh my God, they're actually playing pretty hard. Like, these girls aren't messing around. I'm like, Dad, I'm telling you, it's the way to go. And he's become a big fan now. And I've been trying to get him to become an AFL fan since I was like 8 years old and this has never happened. So it's actually converting a few. So we'll be there somewhere under the shade because there's a couple of oldies there. But yeah, we'll be smashing some pizza and some beer and watching some footy. Donnie, one last thing for you, my friend. What would you like to say?
Not much. Just that I love that you guys are going to the games. I truly, truly appreciate it. I know with several of you, I always reach out and say, hey, if you send me a picture from where you're sitting, because I love seeing that. Unfortunately, I will be snuggled up with our puppy over here at 11:05 p.m., which happens to be actually a decent time.
That's such a pretty good time.
Yeah, it's a very decent time considering the last couple of games have been 1:05 a.m. So they put me in this purgatory of go to bed at 9 to try to get 2 hours of sleep to watch a 2 hour game to then go back to bed at 4 or just stay up and then try to sleep most of the Saturday afternoon, the Saturday or the Sunday afternoon the next day. So it's actually quite a decent start time at 11:05 for me. But the biggest thing I say is just support this group because this is a fun group to watch. I have thoroughly been impressed with their progression from last season. I really think people are going to be very, very overjoyed with the progression of this team because this is still a really young squad. If you look at the ages of many of these girls, they are 19, they are 20, they're 21, they're 22. There are very few over 25 on this roster. So this is a team that's going to grow together. As long as they can keep them together, this is a very good building block team for potential finals and potential flag contenderships in the next 3 to 5 years. I just have that feeling. So support these ladies because they are definitely, definitely worth it. A fun bunch, and you are not going to be disappointed with it. So love it, love it, love it. Thank you again for letting me hop on. I know I'm a little late. The daylight savings time threw me off because you said 4 p.m., Chris, and it was 3 o'clock when you messaged me, and I went, wait, I've still got an hour. Yeah, so daylight savings time is the reason that I am late. I should have went. I should have double checked on that. So for those, the reason that I was late is a little bit of a miscommunication in the time period. I don't put that on Chris. That's just a common. It's just a misconception with the daylight savings oddball that is this. But again, thank you for letting me hop on. This has been absolutely a blast.
Not a problem.
Sorry. One more last thing. It is Mangrook this weekend, yep. Indigenous round. So, an even more exciting reason to get down to the game, or any game. If you're in Sydney, Melbourne, any place there's a game being played, get down to a game and celebrate our Indigenous players.
And I will quickly say I tried to get my mum a jersey, but they're all sold out in her sizes. The only ones left are small. So if you want a Mangrook jersey that was designed by Alicia Newman herself, you need to buy it now because they will sell out. They will 100% sell out.
AFL, release some black numbers so I could get Alicia Newman's number on the back, please. That's a request from me. So I can, and release some AFLW numbers because my Chloe Monloy jumper actually has the AFL numbers on them instead of the AFLW numbers because they don't exist. So can you please do that? That would be great.
Sort it out. Polly from the potty is calling out Swans HQ.
Oh, it's AFL HQ.
AFL HQ, even better for Dylan McGurkin and all those boys. They sort it all out.
Pleading by Polly.
Yeah, pleading by Polly. A new segment on the potty.
I can make it happen. I can think of something every week.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much to Donnie and Polly, of course. We'll see you at Henson Park this Saturday, 1 p.m. Until then, up the Bloods and can you Swanee?